It is time now for sports, or maybe this week we should say sport. This means it is time to talk to NPR's Mike Pesca, who is across the pond at the Olympics. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
You like this new music? Usually we say
Brit
life is
pop
a ball game.
From the 80s?
Yeah, you got it. So are you starting to call it sport? That's how people in Britain refer to sports, right?
Yeah, they drop S's. Sport and math.
Oh.
Oh, no, they say math. So we say math. It's the opposite, yeah.
I like that.
You have to come back. We have an S exchange program going.
Come back with that new dictionary, the language they speak over there, if you can, when you come home. You know, each week we have you throw us what we call a curveball.
Right.
But there's no baseball at the Olympics this year. So what are you going to throw at us?
Well, it won't be a throw. Let's call it an appel, because I'm going to talk about fencing. And I want to start off with this because it was amazing. I bring you to yesterday's women's foil finals. Or actually, let's go right to the semifinals.
Okay.
Now, here's the situation. You have three Italian women in the semifinals, probably because the most athletes that one country can send in any event is three. Otherwise, there would have been four, five, or six. The one non-Italian was a Yoon-hee Nam, and here she is facing Alyssa DeFrancesca. She's up by three touches late, but DeFrancesca, boom, 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 evens the score with seconds left and then wins in overtime. Okay, poor Yoon-hee Nam. Now she's in the bronze medal match. Her opponent in the bronze medal match, surprisingly, is Valentina Vazali. Vazali was about to become, had she won, the first woman ever to win five gold medals. That didn't happen. But what did happen was Yoon-hee Nam goes up really big. But with 11 seconds left, Vazali mounts her comeback. Boom, boom, boom. Three touches within 11 seconds. Then won again in overtime. And because of this dramatic turn of events, Yoon-hee Nam is literally foiled again.
Mike, you sound really excited about fencing.
Foil, yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
What was that term you used at the beginning? Appel?
Yeah, it's like a half step. It's like a little bit of a feint, if you will.
Okay, you're learning a lot over there, it sounds like.
The dictionary is not just in English.
When we follow the Olympics, I mean, in the newspapers and everything, we look at the medal count to see how countries are doing. Is that what you're looking at, too, as sort of a barometer of success?
That's what everyone does, but, you know, it's a little unfair because if you dominate in team sports, you could have 18 people playing team handball. That's just one medal for the country, and as we know, Michael Phelps, a swimmer who could hit eight events, he won't be doing it this Olympics, but, you know, swimming, you're allowed to, or you have the possibility of winning many multiple medals, same with gymnastics. So different sports, it's different criteria. It's not exactly a level playing ground.
Well, are there other ways that we should be measuring success?
I think that looking at Olympics per capita, and especially where some of the Scandinavian countries do well. East Germany used to do really well back when they were their own entity. And also judging by the amount of money per capita.
Hmm.
In this way, if you were to judge not the best, because we're talking about the best Olympic countries, but the worst, Bangladesh has never won a medal. I believe they have 155 million people. Now, it's a very, very poor country. But there are, in fact, countries poorer than Bangladesh that have never won. If you want to look at the worst Olympic performers, start down the list of the poorest countries, and you'll find just country after country that haven't won medals. But, you know, there are ways to bounce back from that, and there are ways, especially if you're rising in income, to be good at the Olympics. China has, you know, made it a priority. They're great at the Olympics. But another one of these emerging nations, India, is a classic Olympic underperformer, though they're the second largest country in the world and getting much, much wealthier. They do very poorly at the Olympics. And the main reason is their national sport is cricket. It's not contested at the Olympics. They're also very good at field hockey, but other countries give more resources. And in the racket sports, they love squash. They don't play that in the Olympics, so they do okay in badminton. It just almost seems like the Olympics is constituted to be the anti-Indian games.
Well, Mike, enjoy the fencing. Enjoy all the other sports there at the Olympics.
On guard.
Never foiled. Our Mike Pesca, who covers sports, and he is covering sports from the Olympic Games in London. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.